All right, so this is your World War III update. Here's what's going on. LA is absolutely burning down, or at least a good chunk of it is burning down. And that would not be that out of the ordinary if it wasn't far removed from wildfire season. We're going to talk about that and other events related to the Anthropocene extinction in just a moment, but there are much bigger geopolitical crises currently unfolding, which are going to affect a lot more people that we got to talk about first. Today, in fact, just an hour ago, I got reports that Engels Air Base, a nuclear bomber base in Russia, was heavily bombarded by Ukrainian drones. Locals there reporting dozens of explosions. We have some video of that to show you. So it appears as though the Ukrainians are hell-bent on starting World War III before Trump can get into office and start a war with Iran. It's like trying to beat everybody to the punch. Who can start a bigger war first? Appears as though both of those things are going to flare up in unison, and we are most definitely going to be in the proverbial day X scenario, where all wars are one war and they all flare up at right around the same time. I would not be surprised with all the strategic pacts being signed. We also have the North Koreans moving large amounts of nuclear-capable missiles towards the South Korean border, the demarcation line. Now, this is critical because right now, South Korea is in turmoil, possibly on the brink of some sort of civil conflict, possibly a low-intensity one, but civil conflict, J6 style, nonetheless. And whenever you have a situation like that, that sort of instability, people in positions of power can instigate fights with outside foes in order to galvanize the population towards that end and send everybody scurrying to the bunkers. A great way to clear all the protesters off the streets is always to start a war. As our friend of the channel, Gerald Celente, says, when all else fails, they most certainly take you to war. The Iranians are also mobilizing for war. State media today made an announcement that in the next few hours, I can't remember the exact quote, I will read it for you in just a moment, but we are going to see some big surprising developments. Now, is this just psychological warfare, something that was similar to the run-up to Operations True Promise 1 and True Promise 2, where they bombarded Israel with large amounts of ballistic missiles? It's quite possible. Others believe that this indeed could be preparation for another strike against Israel. Others even believe, others, I know there's a lot of others, they believe that Israel and the United States are actually getting prepared to do something, and this is Iran's way of establishing deterrence. These are nationwide drills. We have a lot of details to share with respect to this, to share with respect to what could possibly unfold should Donald Trump authorize a strike. Apparently, he does need congressional approval for that unless the United States is attacked. I don't know all the ins and outs, so we could potentially see some real or false flag imaginary attacks on U.S. soil as well. They've been priming us for that for a long time. We also have a lot of aggressive rhetoric intensifying, and not just rhetoric. It appears as though they're 100% going to move on Greenland, and I'm going to tell you the reasons why. They want to build a nuclear base. You see, they tried to do it back in the 60s. They tried to install nuclear missiles in Greenland, and that's what they're going to do. Okay, they're not only going to do that, they're probably going to build some massive underground city for the elites to retreat to. Now, they're going to say this is going to bring all kinds of wealth to the American people. It's not. This is going to be a Pyrrhic victory. This is an uninhabitable, you know, nothing, there's a reason why nobody lives there, okay, is because it's inaccessible, it is incredibly cold, and while there might be some minerals under the 100 feet of Arctic sea ice that exists there, it is going to be incredibly problematic to try to extract any of that. No, this, whatever gains are going to be had is going to be by multinational corporations, and everybody's going to indulge in this Pyrrhic victory. They're going to be tantalized by the prospect of cheap rare earth metals that none of us are ever going to really reap the benefits of, and the people of Greenland certainly are not either, but it's primarily going to be used as a retreat for the elites when the bombs drop. That's what's going to be. It's going to be Seed Vault 2.0, but on a massive scale, Camp Century 2.0, I do believe. We're going to talk about this, that, and everything else. Now, with respect to these wildfires. I gotta say, man, this is weird. This is absolutely weird. I'm sure that the internet is already cooking up some sort of theory about how this is George Soros and his dragon fire-breathing brethren sending down blue laser beams from outer space as they shape-shift and sacrifice children and all that good stuff. But the fact of the matter is, things are getting more extreme. I mean, just look at the contrast here. On the East Coast, you have a foot of snow being dumped, and in California, at the exact same time, L.A. is burning down. How about that? And many people, this is their form of entertainment. You know, I've often said that we will be mesmerized by our own demise because we are a civilization hell-bent on amusing ourselves to death and getting our daily dose of doom and gloom and dopamine. The final piece of entertainment will be our homes burning down, and nothing quite embodies this concept than this horrifying scene right here, where a man possibly just woke up. I'm not sure what the situation was, because everybody's saying, well, why didn't he evacuate? But the problem is, these fires move so fast, especially when you have 50-mile-an-hour winds, and I'm sure the gusts are even much heavier because the winds are so extreme that they've actually had to ground the water bomber plane. So this guy wakes up and he looks at this outside of his window. So I'm sure the climatologists are going to have a heyday with this one. But of course, it'll be chalked up to blue space lasers, and it will be drill, baby, drill, and nothing will ever change until the world ends, for whatever sort of reason it decides to end. This is an aerial shot, the most recent shot before I started the video, at 11:30 Central Standard Time. That's how much news there was today. This is Engels Air Base, or at least a oil refinery near the air base that is on fire. It's very hard to ascertain how many of the explosions reported by locals, there were dozens, but how many of those were just interceptions? The Russians are very good at intercepting Ukrainian drones. I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of them were intercepted, but the Ukrainians are becoming very prolific in their production of these drones, and they're building more and more every single day, and the drone barrages are getting bigger and bigger as we approach the transition into Team Trump. Team Trump, of course, right now, is hell-bent on creating a diversion. Because you see, when you're struggling, like the Americans are, with incredible amounts of debt, just obscene amounts of debt, numbers that are just incomprehensible, you're looking at a cost of living crisis, you're looking at crime. You know, in the New York subway, the scenes that we are seeing are out of a bad movie. It's like it's out of the Joker movie or something. You got crumbling infrastructure. Meanwhile, China is building these high-speed trains. You got the crumbling education system. My kids learn absolutely nothing in school, okay? And this is supposed to be the Canadian. You know, we're supposed to be one of the most advanced countries in the world, apparently not in terms of GDP anymore, but the education system absolutely sucks. Geopolitical turmoil, cultural decline, climactic shifts, and this is what Donald Trump's team is currently fixated on, some sort of quick fix, okay? Do you really seriously think? See, Americans are thinking that, oh, we're going to get something out of this, right? Because it's a Pyrrhic victory. That's all it is. It's a easy win. It's a sensational story. But the fact of the matter is, nothing is going to change for the average American. Okay, we're going to do the same amount of trade. It's just going to be perhaps in a different way. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more streamlined. But at the end of the day, nobody's really going to benefit from rehashing the North American Union plan of old with the America and the Trans-American Corridor and all that stuff. This is like late 2000s stuff, right? Or 2000-aught stuff. So this has already been talked about in the past. And, maybe a guy like Trump and his base could potentially pull something like that off. It would be nice to be relieved of all the comments that I get on the channel that say, you can't comment on American politics because you're not American. That would instantly shut all those mofos up. Not that I care, because I, of course, will keep talking about whatever I want, because I have the freedom to do so, at least for the time being. Perhaps when we get usurped by the United States, and depending on the government there, that right may be taken away, but it'd probably be taken away here first, either way. So in terms of what's going on with all this talk, all this is an easy win. Look, the USA, NATO, the Western Empire, the Pax Americana is finished, okay? I want you to really try to understand this for a second. 20 years ago, they had a plan to conquer the Middle East. They wanted to do Afghanistan. They wanted to do Libya. They wanted to, you know, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran. They were going to go for the whole kit and caboodle. And what did we get? We basically got nothing out of the deal, okay? We got $36 trillion in debt. We lost part of Ukraine, okay? We lost Georgia. What else did we lose? We lost Hong Kong, okay? So the American empire is contracting. And so what's their great idea? What's their great solution? Well, the same thing NATO has always done. You just rename something and then celebrate that as some kind of victory. Oh, Sweden's in NATO now. Big deal. They were practically interoperable before they were a member of NATO anyways. And what are they really contributing to that alliance at the end of the day, aside a staging point for the Americans, right? The fact of the matter is, if you get Greenland, you're going to inherit a barren, cold-ass tundra that nobody wants to live in, not even Elon Musk, a guy who wants to go to a planet where it's minus 100 degrees Celsius, okay, and multinational corporations are going to exploit it to the best of their capability. The American people, the Canadian people, and whoever is a part of this fictitious union that Trump is imagining are not going to benefit one iota. Who is going to benefit are the elites, who are going to get a continuity of government, subterranean metropolis built under the ice, a resurrection of old Camp Century, Project Iceworm, underground nuclear power plants to ride out the apocalypse and the end of days while the rest of us burn in a fiery hell on the mainland. And yeah, they might get some rare earth metals out of it as well, but that's all this is, guys, okay? And are they going to get Greenland? Probably. How are they going to buy it? Well, with money that they don't have. I mean, let's just remember, $36 trillion in debt. How are you going to buy Greenland, even if it's only $10 billion, which would be incredibly cheap and stupid of the Danes? And consider, the Danes, Denmark, is a NATO country. So how does that work with Article 5? It basically nullifies Article 5. I mean, nobody is going to trust the United States. We're already accused of genocide with Israel in the Gaza Strip. We've confiscated $300 billion in Russian assets. It's never going back, okay? And the world sees that. So that's why the world is saying we need to diversify our portfolios a bit here and divest from the U.S. dollar. It's over, man. We've lost all trust. And now we're going after our allies. That's called cannibalism. Okay, you're cannibalizing yourself. That's like you're in a survival situation and you get the bright idea to start eating your own flesh. I know it's a gruesome metaphor, but that's what's happening in here. So we couldn't take and hold any countries in the Middle East. So what do we find? Some barren wasteland in the middle, and no disrespect to the people of Greenland, the 50,000 people there, but you know, it's not exactly a hot vacation spot. So you know what I mean? It's really actually quite pathetic when you think about what is being proposed here, okay? They want to build a nuclear base. They're probably going to put nuclear missiles in there, which is right in line with Trump's backing out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty like he did in 2019, which arguably contributed a lot to the events that have unfolded in between Russia and Ukraine thus far. People who say that Trump is not anti-Russia enough, or that he is not pro-Ukraine enough, they're not really seeing the bigger picture here, okay? Trump is 100% on board with the globalist agenda that seeks to sustain the Pax Americana in any sort of interventionist way that they possibly can. They'll masquerade as being isolationists and protectionists, but at the same time, here they are with all these imperialist fantasies about integrating and consolidating Canada and the Panama Canal, and next they're going to talk about Mexico, probably, and Greenland, and they're already trying to do Venezuela as well. So, you know, and of course, we can't, we would be remiss to not talk about the Northern Sea Route. That's another big part of the deal as well. If you recall, they tried, or they actually did, they prepared to claim a new ocean territory off the Arctic in Alaska in the central Bering Sea, and they did this as a knee-jerk reaction to Russia making some very grandiose claims about their plans for the North Sea Route. This is a way for the Russians to bypass any sort of trade barriers that might arise from being cut off from this route that they would have to take to ship their goods all the way to Asia, okay? They want to be able to do it across the Northern Sea. So it's a way, it's just some redundancy built into the system. The Russians are hardcore preppers. So they say to themselves, you know what? We're going to build nuclear icebreakers, something that the United States and Canada don't have. And they got a lot of them. And we're going to build ourselves a Northern Sea Route because the Arctic sea ice is getting incredibly thin and it's melting. Contrary to the belief of those who think that George Soros and his shape-shifting brethren are lighting space laser fires in LA. That is actually happening. Okay, the Arctic sea ice is melting. Now, whether it's a, I'm not even going to get into the, whether it's an anthropogenically caused thing, the fact of the matter is that the Americans are scrambling to get a little bit of the piece of the pie here because they're worried that they're going to miss something up there. Maybe it's massive gold deposits, maybe it's oil. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, if you don't have the resources, the manpower, the industrial capability to muster, like we did when we originally built Camp Century, then how the hell are you going to exploit these resources? Where are you going to get all the steel and the machinery in order to do this? A lot of this stuff is still coming from the global supply chain. You're dependent on China for, okay? So all I'm saying is this is a pipe dream, and if it does materialize in any meaningful way, the average American is not going to benefit from it one iota. There's a reason why Greenland's ice sheet and their landmass right now is not being exploited by private companies. There's a reason. It's not just environmentalism. Look, if Denmark thought that they could make a quick buck off of this massive uninhabited space, they absolutely would. This is an uninhabitable place, and it's cold, and sure, it looks beautiful for about 5 minutes until you want to go inside. Okay, now fortunately, a lot of the ice is melting. As you can see from the sea temperature, the temperature anomaly here along the periphery in particular, you can see massive ice loss that is unfolding. And yeah, so that's all good and fine, but understand whatever they're saying the reasons for this are, this is just a diversion. This is to divert people away from the fact that the Pax American Empire is crumbling. And the only thing they can do, and this is where people should be infuriated, is that right now at this critical juncture where we should be trying to find solutions, real solutions, not memeing about fucking Doge and all this dumb shit. Like, I mean, we literally are in idiocracy right now. People don't realize. You got Andrew Tate trying to run for office in the UK. I mean, I actually want the world to end. I have never said this on the channel before, but now I've reached a point where I just can't take it anymore. Like, I mean, things need to collapse. The faster they collapse, the better off we're all going to be. And this is coming from the person who's fully aware of what that world is going to look like. I've approached it and analyzed it from every possible angle. I know it's going to be constant hell, but it has to happen because we're in the realm of the absurd right now. Everything is just so absurd. And here we are entertaining and amusing ourselves with our own demise. As tantalizing as a proposition as it may be, to acquire Greenland, I assure you, and Canada, I assure you, it's going to be, you're not going to realize the gains of any sort of union of that sort for decades, okay? As I was talking about Camp Century, I would encourage you to go and look at Project Iceworm. This is actually quite incredible what happened. This whole scenario already kind of played out back during the Cold War in the 60s. During the Cold War era, the U.S. military base in Greenland was abandoned in 1967 after the Joint Chiefs of Staff rejected its missile launch program. But did the Danes know about the nuclear missile program that they were getting ready to put there? No. The camp was built with Denmark's approval, but the missile launch program was kept secret. Obviously, at the time, they were worried about the Soviets and stuff. But still, you know, you're on somebody's territory. That's probably, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you, we put a large amount of fissile material into the ground, okay? And it may well make you now a prime nuclear target in the case of full-blown mutual assured destruction. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers removed the nuclear reactor, but left the rest of the camp's infrastructure in waste behind, assuming the ice sheet would secure them. But now the ice is receding and a lot of this stuff is being revealed, okay? Geologists at the time discovered that the glacier was moving faster than expected, which would destroy the tunnels and launch the stations within two years. This might have been around the same time where they were contemplating building a aircraft carrier out of pycrete. If you don't know what that is, that's sawdust mixed with ice. Yeah, they actually wanted to do that at one point, okay? So crazy, crazy things. Crazier things have happened, I guess, but I tell you, man, very, very strange. So in terms of, Donald J. Trump in Greenland, as you probably guys have already heard, that must have been an interesting trip for him. I'm sure the people there would be more than happy to each get, you know, $1 million. I mean, at the end of the day, you pay 50,000 people $1 million, say, hey, can we have your country? You send a few Coast Guard boats up there, what's Denmark going to do? I mean, it's basically yours. But that comes with a big responsibility, right? Big league. Let's see what big league has to say about this one.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes.
Now listen to the language that he uses here. This is an Article 5 infringement on another nation's sovereignty. Remember that. If you hear people being flippant about this and like, we're just going to take it, you know, just know that that's the beginning of the end of this whole thing, right? That's the end of soft power. If you're willing to concede that for some really short-term gains that none of us are really going to reap the benefits of immediately anyways, then okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when Europe turns on us, okay? And let's see what happens when they try to rebuild Nord Stream against the will of the United States. And let's see what happens when those bases in Germany and Turkey get turned upside down, okay? Because that could happen. That's something that we got to factor into the calculus here. And I'm not so sure that Trump is the great chess player that a lot of people think he is.
I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should.
I mean, which is a stupid statement, okay? I'm throwing shade. I don't give a shit what. I throw on shade on every politician. If you can't handle that, if you're too much of a sensitive little bitch to handle that, then just get the hell off the channel. I don't have any patience for you anymore. We're in the frickin' end of times. If you're Christian, if you're not, it doesn't matter. It's obvious for the world to see, so I'm not pandering to you. Anyways, this is just a ridiculous statement because Denmark has, you know, at least claimed the territory for hundreds of years. So, I mean, do we have a legal right to the Northwest Territories or to certain countries around the world that we've annexed? I mean, come on. But at least he's being honest. I'll give him that much. At least he's not trying to conceal his true intentions here. That's one thing I always respect about Trump is that, you know, he tells you what he thinks.
Should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships.
That was a Saturday Night Live Sarah Palin moment.
All over the place.
But they won't even, Saturday Night Live won't even remember this because, you know, there's just so much happening. There's too much to make fun of.
You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen.
But, I mean, the Russians are operating in their own waters. Now, I understand the need to do this, but this is the type of thing that you should have had the foresight to be building this stuff a long time ago. I mean, Russia is far along in their plans. They've been planning this for decades, okay? And here we are, just at the last minute, scrambling. That should tell you how prepared we are for the shit hit the fan. I want you to extrapolate that to every other aspect of continuity of government planning, because that's what it is. It's a knee-jerk reaction. The Russians and the Chinese, oh, we got to get there soon. We got to go and conquer Greenland. You know, irrespective of how it's going to be viewed by our allies.
If Denmark wants to get to a conclusion, but nobody knows if they even have any right title or interest. The people are going to probably vote for independence or to come into the United States.
That is true. The people could very well do that. But, you know, there's similar situations that have happened where people wanted to become a part of another country, but, you know, the country that is sovereign said, no, you can't do that. It's like secession from the Union or something. It would be that sort of equivalent. So, I mean, it might be true that the people of Greenland want to become a part of America. And, I mean, to have, you know, Team Trump fly there, it's probably one of the most eventful things that's happened there ever since the nuclear base was supposed to be built.
Says, but if they did do that, then I would tariff Denmark at a very high level.
Which is, you know, effectively a declaration of war on your ally. That's what I mean. It's cannibalism, right? It's geopolitical cannibalism. And it's not a good long-term strategy. This is what, this is a Peter Zion type map. He always puts his map sideways, which is actually an interesting way of looking at the world. So here's Greenland, the Canadian archipelago. I mean, they could take that. They could do something with that. But he wants Greenland, I guess. And the North Sea route is going to go along here. And the Russians, they have all kinds of stuff going on up there. Nuclear tests and whatnot. Justin Trudeau gave one final message from the pulpit. There isn't a snowball's chance in hell that Canada would become a part of the United States. See, now he gets tough when he's done. Come on, man. You might as well just go, Justin, because, you know, it's over, bro. It is over. But it might not be over because, again, I find the timing very suspicious here. And is he really going to be gone, or is he just going to linger around in this purgatory as an interim whatever remaining prime minister, lame duck, and just do whatever he wants and dictate from his house for 3 months? Because that's a possibility. And if we do go into a major war, are they going to enact some kind of emergency war measures act and he's going to be dictator until the thing's done? I mean, anything could happen, guys. I do find it odd that he's doing this right now. I'll tell you that much. Now, in terms of what is going on with Iran, we got some big, big news. Now, Trump has said that if the hostages aren't back by the time I get into office, God, I cannot do a Trump impression if you paid me. Where's my screen? There it is. Back again. If the hostages aren't back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. Well, I mean, you're talking to, I think, the people in the Gaza Strip are resigned to their fate. There's probably nothing that you could really do that could be worse than what is happening now, except slaughter more civilians, which I'm sure, you know, and if that's what he does, then what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of pushback from the other side. And then you're going to see protests arise again. And if there's anything the blue hairs are looking for right now is any opportunity to protest, even if they have no comprehension of what is going on in the Gaza Strip. I do believe, personally, that it indeed is a genocide that is taking place. Okay, it's a colonialist project. People are being displaced and dislocated. Children are being shot for no apparent reason in multiple cases. There's all kinds of war crimes being committed on a day-to-day basis, and we're funding it all. And Biden just gave him $8 billion. And that's where I differ from a lot of people in this space, is that I can clearly see what's happening in the world And we're losing credibility, okay? We're losing soft power. And that's fine when you have hard power, but we're losing our hard power. Our aging aircraft carriers, our aging military and civilian infrastructure that feeds into the military infrastructure is going to put us in a very dangerous predicament down the road. So not even for ethical reasons per se, although I am a moral person, it's just not good strategy to employ the strategy that we're doing around the world, okay? Now, there is something called the War Powers Resolution. It provides that the president can send the U.S. armed forces into action abroad only by declaration of war by Congress. Again, I'm not an expert on this, so I know what you're going to say right now. I'm not an American citizen yet, but we might all be soon, okay? So grant me some leniency here. Statutory authorization, or in case of a natural emergency created by an attack upon the United States, its territories or possessions, or its armed forces. So maybe if Iran attacks Canada and then we get viewed as a part of the United States, maybe that will give them the casus belli to go to war. Nonetheless, Trump does intend to continue the maximum pressure campaign on the Iranians, like you see behind me here. They are getting ready for all-out war. The drills that they are currently conducting revolve around protecting their nuclear facilities. Now, for the longest time, we've heard Israel brag about how they took out all of Iran's air defense, yet they haven't provided a lick of satellite evidence to prove it, that they actually did this. We've seen a few satellite images, but there's no reason why they couldn't provide multiple satellite images. It's not like Iran is going to get any information from that that they didn't already have, of course. So they very easily could confirm. So the rumor is that, you know, there might be the actual capabilities here are being exaggerated in terms of the Israeli side. Now, if they send the B-2 bombers, the stealth bombers with the GB-57 bunker-busting bombs, that is really the only thing that stands a chance in hell at getting deep enough to affect these nuclear facilities, okay? And there is a possibility that it simply won't work. The facilities are buried 150 meters deep, and that's just 150 feet deep, I should say. That's just one of the facilities, and that's just a part of that specific facility. Many of the other Iranian bunkers can go down hundreds of meters, which are impenetrable by not even just conventional ordnance, but likely nuclear ordnance as well. With the GB-57, which is the biggest bunker-busting bomb in the U.S. arsenal, which weighs like 30,000 pounds or some insane amount, of course, you'd have to put a bomber in, you know, knee-deep in Iranian airspace in order to be able to effectively put it on target. And there is also 7 feet of concrete in addition to the, or 7 meters of concrete, I should say, that surrounds the Natanz nuclear facility, plus the 150 feet. So these GB-57 bombs, as far as I know, can either penetrate 20 meters of concrete or 200 feet of soil, like just ground. Okay, now, so a combination of those two things, again, there's a limited amount of these. I believe there's a few dozen in the U.S. arsenal. It's such a massive bomb. But the thing is, if they can't beat little old Yemen, all right, you seriously think they're going to be able to beat Iran? I mean, they can't beat Yemen. And the mountainous region in Yemen is way smaller. It is a fraction of the size of the mighty Persian Empire. Iran is just a massive country. I shouldn't call it an empire. It's not an empire anymore. But when you look at the topography of this region, there is no way, you know, aside doing some sorties, you're not doing anything. I mean, we don't even know what these guys have in these endless mountain ranges, okay? And that's the thing, like, because they have, it's so mountainous, digging is a lot easier when it's a mountain because you just dig into the mountain. You just dig sideways as opposed to digging down. So they're opening more missile cities, as they call them. And I would not doubt if they have a lot of redundancies with their nuclear program. For all we know, they've already moved a lot of their nuclear equipment, the critical stuff. And of course, they have a strategic pact with the Russians that is being formed. Right now, they're running the largest maritime exercise that's expected to take place in the Gulf of, or the Strait of Hormuz, I should say. And, oops, what's going on here? Let's go back here. Okay, that's our Twitter feed. Oh. All right, so largest maritime exercise, of course, in the Strait of Hormuz, which is a strategic checkpoint. Just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, that's this right here, okay? So the ships have to come this way. A lot of traffic from friends and foes of Iran. The real sort of wild card here is that Iran could launch an all-out attack on American bases throughout the region, and they could light up, you know, Saudi Arabian oil fields. Of course, that would give the United States casus belli to go to war, which is quite possibly what they are looking for and hoping for in this particular situation. But previously, they made threats to close the strait. Now they're doing massive military exercises, getting ready to actually execute upon those threats. Okay. Now, Iranian media had said yesterday, which will be yesterday by the time you probably see this, in the coming hours, the world will witness unusual scenes and developments. What does that mean? Are they just talking about the massive military exercises unfolding? Is it a psyop? We don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. 100,000 members of the Revolutionary Guard's voluntary besieged militia are expected to march into Iran this Friday. This is Iran. If you don't know, they have this militia called the besieged. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's actually comprised of about 6 million members. And basically, this is their hedge against civil unrest and attempts to try to undermine the government from outside forces, aka stage a coup against the Ayatollah. So they have all their bases covered, and they're going to do this as a show of force to remind any sort of people within the country who do attempt to usurp power. Because when you're in a country of 90 million people, yes, you have a lot of safety in numbers, but there's also a lot of places for Mossad and CIA spies to hide, right? We have considered all possible scenarios and are conducting realistic and proportionate exercises, meaning they're getting ready for a full-scale war. And of course, the guy who killed Soleimani is now coming back, and he's saying that he really doesn't want to negotiate, or if he is saying that he wants to negotiate on the nuclear question, even though he's long since said, Trump, of course, that Iran has no need for a nuclear program because they have infinite amounts of oil. There's some argument to be made there, for sure. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people are looking at what's happening in North Korea. They're even looking at what's happening in Ukraine and saying, well, we can understand why Iran wants a nuclear deterrent. It's like the Second Amendment for countries. Nobody fucks with you when you have nuclear weapons. It could potentially actually be a stabilizing force in the way it's been a stabilizing force for nuclear superpowers around the world. Look, we haven't seen war with the North Koreans and the South Koreans yet, and the only reason why is because Kim Jong-un has nuclear weapons. Let's get real. Footage recently published by Iranian media showing the launch of a SA-67 loitering surface-to-air missile from a box truck. That's this right here. So Iran is mastering this type of weaponry, where they launch it from shipping containers, from commercial vessels. So they're really mastering the gray man style of covert warfare, where they can launch these from vehicles that don't look like military vehicles. So it's really Hamas on steroids, okay? The IDF, in response to all this, has been put on a high state of alert. They're suspecting that there might be a surprise military action against Israel. Iran has also deployed a number of advanced Nazir radars in the northern part of the country because, of course, now Israel has that safe passage from Syria. Let me see if I can find orient myself here. So Syria is right here. So now that they kind of have free rein to fly as they want in Syria, it gets them a little bit closer to Iran without, they still have to refuel, I guess, but they're less at risk of having to go through, you know, right across through, you know, enemy territory and then through Iraq. So the thinking is that now they've potentially opened up a passageway for them to launch an attack, and that the Iranians are actually getting prepared to defend, not offend. This is what Trump had to say about the hostages.
Hostages aren't back. I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone.
Well, I can tell you that the oil barons are frothing at the mouth hearing that, knowing that the price of oil, all hell will break out in the Middle East. What does he mean by that? Does he mean like a full-scale war in the Middle East is going to break out and the price of oil is going to go through the roof? Do you think that's going to help at the pumps with inflation? It's going to help the bottom line of U.S. corporations who are making money hand over fist from oil revenues. But are the American people going to see that? When really they're just printing money anyways. So, you know, how does this money actually get realized in the system for the average Joe? You know, you maybe one guy gets, you get 100,000 oil workers. You know, is that really worth it for the rest of the population to have to struggle with insane inflation, especially if you put tariffs on China?
U.S. launching a preemptive strike on Iraq.
Why the hell is this so quiet?
And I don't talk about it. It's a military strategy.
But it is a legitimate question. It's something that...
Well, it's not really, because only a stupid person would answer it. Look, it's a military strategy, and I'm not...
On the one hand, he's right, but he's not asking him what the actual operation would be. He's just asking him whether or not, you know, you would consider some sort of military intervention, and that really is a policy decision, as I expressed to you, with what would be required with gaining some sort of congressional approval. However, it's pretty bipartisan support for anything Israel does. Everybody knows that. So, you know, whatever they want to do, they're going to do, I guess. What's going on in North Korea? So in North Korea, South Korean Defense Intelligence Agency has reported the operational deployment of North Korean Hwasong 11D ballistic missile transport erector launchers, as seen here, to frontline units near the demilitarized zone. These systems are assessed to be nuclear capable, significantly increasing the strategic threat posed by their deployment. This activity follows an order from the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in August 24, as directed 250 Hwasong 11D TLs are anticipated to be positioned along the DMZ. 250 from a country just barely scraping by. Where do you think they're getting all this equipment? Really, where do you think they're building this sophisticated equipment? The Chinese and the Russians, that's your answer. Okay, I think that's about it today, guys. Well, let's just talk about the fodder here. What else do we got? Okay, so Mark Zuckerberg said sorry. He's went full on prepper. You know, he's, you know, they say if you're a liberal, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 40, you have no brain. I don't know if there's truth to that. As I always say, you know, sometimes you got to veer right, sometimes you got to veer left. Mark Zuckerberg in the last 5 years gets a nuclear proof bunker, learns, I think he was doing spear throwing for a while, archery, firearms, jujitsu. Now he's, you know, in with Dana White, and he's, you know, flipped, and he's saying that the moderators are too politically biased and all this. Is he just kissing Trump's ass, or is it because Facebook is losing market share? That may well be it, because I haven't used Facebook in forever, and I was actually one of the first 20 million people on Facebook when it first came out back in 2007, and I just don't use it anymore because I think it's just a dying platform, and I think Instagram is not too far behind. This is the future, guys. This poor guy right here, unfortunately, was stuck in his Waymo self-driving car as it went round and around in circles in a parking lot. Okay, this is the future. Yesterday I showed you the guy that the car, he was trying to break into the self-driving car and steal it. And, you know, karma kicked in and the self-driving robot said, no, you ain't leaving. Lock the doors, call the cops on the guy. Okay, so that's the future. But the future really is if you do something that the establishment doesn't like, they're going to drive you to the police station. And this is just another example like that, a Waymo going haywire. Now, imagine the hacking capabilities. Imagine the end of the world, a massive cyber attack possibilities with something like this when all the electric cars go haywire and their lithium batteries explode with the people inside. That's the potential world we are moving into. Make no doubt about it. This guy is controlling a gun, a sentry. Remember the sentries from the movie Alien? That was one of the coolest scenes in the movie where they have the robot sentries taking out the aliens. Well, that's essentially what this is, only he's talking to it using voice commands, ChatGPT, which is really a combination of technologies which have already existed for the longest time. But it really makes you wonder, you know, what type of technology do they really have? And a lot of this technology is going to be automated. So you're not going to be, you know, they're going to use AI to assume what a target is. But it's interesting nonetheless. What else do we got going on here? Oh, yeah. Mark Zuckerberg's apology. He's got this gold chain on or something. NVIDIA released a monstrous chip today. And what people forget about chips is that none of this shit would be possible without gold and silver. Gold and silver, silver and gold. Gold and silver are not just some archaic relics of a monetary medium of the past. They are, in fact, absolutely quintessential to every piece of electronics that we have today. And we're going to be doing a deeper dive documentary on that in a minute. And Sam Altman got himself in a weird situation. The guy who's supposed to be bringing in artificial general intelligence, well, it turns out his sister has accused him of sexual abuse. So weird. Very, very weird. Mr. Altman is in hot water. So he made a statement in public, which was very unexpected. Now, fire preparation. I should have said this at the beginning, darn it. Fire mask. Get a frickin' fire mask. It's cheap. Everyone should have one. It's not just for the apocalypse. It's going to make the air, which is going to be saturated with carbon monoxide, it's going to make it breathable for a short period of time. This is a throwaway unit. It's also called a smoke hood. It's going to increase your chances of survival or just getting out alive. It's not that you're necessarily going to die from carbon monoxide poisoning when going through a region like this, but the smoke is going to likely just make an anxious situation all the more chaotic. And if you can do anything to mitigate that, it's going to allow you to focus on finding a way of egress out of the disaster zone. And in a situation like this, where the fire is moving at a very fast pace, you in the very least need something cheap like a fire mask. You can get that at CanadianPreparedness.com. Or the more versatile, well-rounded, reusable option is a gas mask, preferably one with NATO 40-millimeter threads so that you can put multiple different types of filters. This particular filter is an everything filter, and it even filters out carbon monoxide. Not all gas masks will do that. Many will filter out smoke, but if there's not enough oxygen in the air, it's not going to do much good for you, right? So it will do a bit of good, but you're still going to die. So this is going to prevent carbon monoxide. This is I believe these were made in Russia at one point up until 2022, and we couldn't get them anymore. But we do have many in stock. I believe they're made in some other Eastern European country. There's a variety of different types of filters. Not all filters. I would say most filters are not going to require a carbon monoxide component. It's not filtration. What it does is it adds another molecule to it and it makes it, you know, converts it into a breathable form of air. I don't know all the science of it. Our friend Roman over at Mira Safety knows a lot more about that. But yeah, I tell you, man, simple things like this. You know, everybody should have a fire mask, especially if you work in a high-rise building, if you work anywhere in a wildfire-prone region. It doesn't hurt to just put this in your car and forget about it, set it, forget it. I believe these go for about $40 or something like that. And don't just get one when you see a fire on the news. Like, you don't get a propane space heater and snowshoes and, you know, survival shelters when it's a blizzard outside. You want to do this beforehand, before the panic. Don't be a panic prepper, my friends. I got to go because it's already after midnight and the next day is going to start before I know it. See you later. Bye.